Hello, and welcome to Power Pros Podcast, episode 56, The Legend Returns. I'm your host, the Hoff, Chris Hoffman, and with me is my co-host, the Howard to my Nestor, Scott Michella.
That's amazing. I love that. Yes, I am here.
And we are back, of course, to talk about what's going on in the world of Nintendo. We've got some news to discuss, we've got some game impressions to talk about, and then we've got our big topic, which is based on some really cool, exciting news that broke just this morning as we record this podcast, and that is the NES Classic Edition.
Yes, holy cow.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome, huh?
It is actually pretty awesome. I would not have expected this of Nintendo. I am completely blown away. I was floored. My mouth was wide open when my coworker was like, "Did you hear this?" And I was like, "No way." And I had to get on the internet and check it out.
Yeah, basically what it is a small, miniature NES that you can hold in your hand. It's preloaded with 30 classic NES games. It's coming out this November. It sells for $60. It's going to even have a classic NES controller to go with it. And we're going to get into all the details and our thoughts of what we're thinking about so far later on in the show. But before we do that, let's kick it off with some game impressions. Specifically, let's start off with my impressions of Zero Time Dilemma for the Nintendo 3DS.
I'm completely out of the loop on this. I don't even know what this game is. How did this fly under my radar?
Well, it is the third entry in a series that started on the Nintendo DS with 999.
Yes, of course. 999, 9 rooms, 9 doors, 9 somethings.
9 hours, 9 persons, 9 doors. Started on the 3DS, then it went over to Virtue's Last Reward. That was the sequel that came out on 3DS. Mm-hmm. And it's a series of sci-fi, murder, mystery, point-and-click adventures that are sort of mixed with a visual novel twist. And all of them, you've got a set of 9 characters that are trying to escape some facility that they're trapped in. Even though I did just say it's a lot like a visual novel, mm-hmm. especially with this one, Zero Time Dilemma, it's fully voiced, it's fully animated, it's not just static text and backgrounds. There's a lot more to it than that, and there's a lot of interactive stuff when you're doing the adventure puzzle-solving areas. So it's far from what you might consider a typical visual novel. You know, I've been interested in this series since it first came out. I was into the first one, I was into the second one. I wanted to know what would happen next, and I've been waiting for this for quite a while. But the problem is, for a while, it didn't look like we were going to get this game. Mm-hmm. Because the second one ended on a cliffhanger, but it wasn't super popular in Japan or anything, and so it didn't seem like the third installment was imminent. But lo and behold, they did finally decide to do one. They committed to it. They didn't go on Kickstarter or anything to get people's money beforehand, but they decided yes because of people just really asking for it and demanding it here in the U.S. especially. They went ahead and they decided to make the game, announced it about a year ago, and it finally came out.
Do you think it's hurting this franchise that they haven't kept a consistent name with the game? So I'm aware of 999, but I wasn't aware of this game.
Maybe a little bit. Starting with the second game, they tried to add a primary title. They try to call it the Zero Escape series, but mm-hmm. for some reason it's like really buried in this one. So you'd think that the official title would be something like Zero Escape, Zero Time Dilemma. And you can find that it is called that in some places, but you're not going to even see it on the front of the box. So mm-hmm. Probably.
Yeah,
it makes me wonder why they did that with the second game at all. But anyway, it's finally here. It took me a long time to get it, because even after waiting all this time and fearing that there wasn't going to get a sequel, Amazon like totally messed up the orders. It seems like maybe something happened to their shipment. I don't know what the deal is, but they got all screwed up, and I was hoping to get the game right when it came out at the end of last month. It didn't happen. They're like, oh, delays. Is it going to come out in a month? Anyway, enough of that. It finally came out, and I've finally been playing it, and I got into it, and then I saw the credits roll within 15 minutes.
Are you serious? No, but you must not have gotten the good ending then, right?
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. That's what this series is all about, is that they have multiple endings. And it was kind of a surprise twist in 999 where you'd try all these different routes, and then you found out, oh, you actually are supposed to play all these different routes, and then you can find the ultimate ending. In this one, you can get one of the endings, like, right at the beginning. So even though you see the credits just within, you know, a few minutes of playing, you're not really seeing the end of the game. You're supposed to go back and try the other routes and make other decisions and play all this other stuff.
Yeah.
But it is kind of funny that they put it in there, because if for some reason you haven't played the other games and you play this one first, and you're like, what? I'm getting the credits in 15 minutes? You're like, what kind of game is this? This doesn't make any sense. I didn't even do anything.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I guess they put it in there kind of as maybe a nod to the fans, or maybe a little joke or something like that. But that aside, after that, and I really started getting into it, I really enjoyed the story. There's a lot of mysterious stuff going on. You want to figure out what's going on in your immediate surroundings. You want to see how it fits into the bigger picture of the previous games. There's just a whole lot that you want to know about. And also, this game is completely told out of sequence. It's, you know, you're given these segments in little chunks, so it's totally nonlinear, and it plays with the order that things are happening, so you don't really know how everything is unfolding, and it gives you a lot to think about. I don't really think I like this structure better, because it kind of distracts me from the other stuff that's going on.
Yeah.
But it still does make things interesting, and it's something you don't see in very many video games. You see it, you know, in movies sometimes.
Yeah, are you replaying a lot of the game every time you go through and get a different ending? Do you have to kind of start from the beginning?
No, not in this one. There's basically a timeline chart that shows all the branching paths, and you can easily jump from one to another. And if you do have to, you know, see part of the narrative over again, there's a fast-forward button that lets you go through and get to the part you want to get to in just a couple of seconds. So, yeah, there's not a lot of replaying going on here. Not at all. And in the first game, that was a bit of an issue, but they fixed that in the second one and in this one especially.
And is there there's actual dialogue and voice acting in this? Is it in English?
Yes, yes. All the cutscenes are fully voiced, so extensive voice work. Mm-hmm. It's in English and it's in Japanese. It's dual audio. Mm-hmm. I've been playing in English, and it's all pretty good. It's all pretty good. English voice work.
Yeah.
No complaints from me about that. On the graphic side of things, that could be a little bit better. I mean, it's not bad, but some of the animations look a little bit janky. Some of the character faces just maybe look a little off sometimes. And there are some scenes where just the frame rate slows to a chug, and I'm not really sure why. I guess it also explains why it's not in 3D. There's no 3D at all. No stereoscopic 3D.
No stereoscopic 3D.
Yeah, and that kind of sucks. As I recall, Virtue's Last Reward was in 3D, so I don't know why they don't have it in this one. It's not the end of the world or anything, but it is missed.
Yeah, so how did this game do on Steam? Because I see that it's on the PC. Do you know how it performed?
I have zero idea. Pun intended.
I'll look it up.
I didn't even know it was out on Steam.
Overwhelmingly positive on Steam. It looks really good on Steam. I know the 3DS has like an eighth of the pixels than as a 1080p PC game, but... yeah, it look. I like the style of it, and the puzzles seem like Myst kind of ish.
The puzzles are all very object oriented.
Yeah,
and environmental. You have to find stuff and use it in the environment. And then there's some, you know, more puzzly aspects, like, you know, assembling shapes and fitting them into a case or something. So it's more like actual physical puzzle, or lining things up, or doing things of that nature. But the puzzles are really, really fun. I enjoy pretty much all of the puzzle and adventure elements of the game, and I thought that stuff was just really, really well done. You know, I said that because it's told out of sequence, it makes it a little more complicated, but other aspects of it are a little more straightforward, because in the previous games, like in the first one, it's like, okay, there's these special watches you're wearing, they have to add up to a total of 9, and that's how you decide your character groups. Then the second one, it was like, okay, now your character groups have to betray one another, and that factored in. In this one, the main story type of hook is just called the decision game, where you have to make these split-second decisions periodically. It has nothing to do with betrayal, it has nothing to do with numbers, but you're just making these choices, and that's what determines the branching paths that you go down.
Mm-hmm.
On the one hand, you know, it's cool that you get to make these choices, and sometimes you can do things that will cause really bad things to happen, and things can be really brutal and violent as a result. And to me, I find that stuff interesting and compelling. On the other hand, because you know that you're supposed to try all the different branches, and there's really not much of a penalty for doing something that the game might consider wrong and lead to a game over, it's like, okay, well, it doesn't really matter what I do. I can make whatever choice, and then I can just back up and try the other one a little bit later.
Yeah, I kind of, that's not really the direction that a lot of games these days are going, where choices should matter, I think, but I don't know.
Yeah, overall, they don't matter. I think it probably would have been better if you played through the entire sequence once, and then after that you were able to jump over to the different timelines, mm-hmm. and you sort of ended up with whatever ending you got from your initial decisions. I think that's how it was in the original game. But I guess by now they figure it's people who've already tried it. They already know what they're doing. They know what they're getting into, and they expect to be jumping around a lot. Why should we hold them back? Yeah. So,
is there a demo on the eShop for this?
I do not believe so. I don't think so.
This seems like a game that I'd want to play before I try it, before I buy. But I don't know. I guess if you like the first two games.
I mean, I like the first two a lot. Yeah. I like this one. I couldn't put it down, really. I played it from, you know, I got it, I think, last Friday. It finally arrived. And I just kept playing and playing as much as I could, because I really wanted to know what happened with the story, mm-hmm. and the characters and the mystery. And I just couldn't put this thing down. And I think it took me a total of about 24 hours to play through it, all mm-hmm. told. But yeah, I was just playing and playing and playing. And finally I got to the ending, and, you know, it wrapped up most of the important stuff. I still felt like maybe it could have done a little bit more, but I was still satisfied in the end. And yeah, I had a good time with it. I would recommend it. I would recommend playing the other two games first.
Yeah.
You know, they try to explain a little bit about what happened in the previous ones, but mm-hmm. it's still a lot to swallow.
Yeah.
So I would say try to play 999 first, and then VLR, and then Zero Time Dilemma. But I think it's a really great series. If you're interested in that kind of puzzle solving and interested in visual novelty type stuff, it's hard to go wrong with this one. I think it's pretty darn good.
And I believe you can still buy 999 new for the DS on Amazon, I think, anyway, for cheap.
I've certainly seen it at a lot of places over, you know, in
not hard to track
recent
down.
Months. Yeah. So yeah, I like it. If I were scoring it in Nintendo Power, I'd probably give it an 8 out of 10.
Well, that's great.
It was maybe not as good as I was hoping for, but I think worth the wait, and glad to have finally played it and enjoyed it.
Yeah.
So moving on from this, let's talk about some news. And this week in the news, Pokemania is sweeping the nation. That's right, Pokemania is sweeping the nation. Watch out for your neighbors. If they're throwing Pokeballs, they might hit you in the face. These curious cuties from beyond the sea, people are trying to catch them. It's the new phenomenon.
That's great. That's not going to get old. I love it. I think that's how we should do the news the whole way. You should just keep it up. I guess we gotta get serious with the Pokemons.
But yeah, Pokemon Go. We talked a little bit about it last week. It pretty much just come out when we started recording.
Yeah.
But now it's out, and it really is a full-blown freaking phenomenon.
Holy crap. I could not have predicted that. I don't think anybody could have seen that coming. I think you say, oh, it's a Pokemon mobile game. Oh, yeah, maybe I'll take a look at it. Mm-hmm. I don't think...
Well, I mean, I thought it was going to be big, but it was going to be this big.
But like where presidential candidates are plugging, you know, Pokemon Go in their speeches.
Everybody is plugging it. Like everybody is trying to get on this bandwagon. They're like, oh, Pokemon Go. Let's talk about it in, you know, every random TV show and sports event and political event that's going on.
Just, I'm super worried that it's going to burn restaurants out. And how is this going to keep? It just can't keep up this level of just craziness and hype. I don't know. What do you think?
Well, it's going to be hard, but I mean, I went out last Friday on a walk, as I sometimes do, and I think I saw about 8 people in the park playing it.
Just in the park, and by the way, you're not in a major metropolitan area.
No, I'm kind of in the suburbs a little bit.
So I think this is a lot of people's experiences in even small suburbs. They're meeting up with people playing this game.
Well, I saw 8 people playing it. You know, they were in various groups. There was a pair of 2 and then a group of 3, I think another group of 3. But then I went for another walk in the exact same place 2 days ago, and I saw 30 people
doing it. That's crazy.
So, and that was just for a pretty short walk through this area. I'm sure that, you know, there's hundreds of people playing it throughout the park during the day.
Yeah.
So right now, it's just still in a growth phase, is what I'm saying. It's just getting bigger and bigger.
Yeah. So last night, my wife opens up her Pokemon Go from the couch.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
We're not in range of any Pokestops, but we are, we're 200 steps away from a gym.
Okay.
Pokemon Gym. It's at the top of Koi Tower, and we live on Telegraph Hill. So she says, she turns to me and says, the color is changing every 30 seconds. And I said, that's crazy. How many different colors have you seen? She's like, oh, it keeps changing, like this color to this color, this color. And I
so
said,
that means it's being conquered by a different gym.
Yes. And or a different player.
Different players.
And
every
it's
time.
11:30 at night. So there are people up at the top of the hill at this, you know, very big tourist attraction, but there's never anybody up there at 11:30 at night. There are people up there at that time of night because I guess they want to own that gym for that a certain amount, and they think, oh, if I go up there really late, maybe I'll own it until the next day. But of course not. Yeah. There's five people up there fighting for domination, which is crazy. It's crazy.
Could be more than that. Could be five groups of people, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you're supposed to form teams and things like that.
Yep.
So you were having trouble when you played it last week. You didn't have the best experience.
I didn't. And I think a lot of people have the same experience, which is...
Has it improved since then, though?
It has, in small ways. It's not as bad as it was, where you would load up the game and it would make you re-log in to Google and forget that you had even signed up and that kind of stuff. And because
that hadn't even happened when we were playing it last week. You said you went on and everything was fine. You couldn't catch Pokemon because they were too out of range.
Yeah, and I had literally used it for 10 minutes. And I was at work and there were no Pokestops around me. And the ones that I could see seemed like I couldn't get to them without like breaking into somebody's building. But that wasn't the case. I was completely wrong.
You weren't tapping them? Is that the problem?
I just wasn't close enough to the Pokestop. They're very clearly, like, there's pictures of each Pokestop, which is usually, like, an interesting feature or a cool location, maybe a tourist attraction.
There was lots of little memorial spots in the park that I went to.
Yep. And I passed them on my way home. I spun the thing. There were a lot of connectivity issues. I'm sure you saw that as well.
I had tons of connection problems after that first day. It gave me all kinds of trouble. It kicked me off.
Yep.
And then sometimes I would fire it up and everything would just be blank. I would go past what was supposed to be a Pokestop and I would just get a white circle.
Mm-hmm.
And there were no Pokemon and there were just white blanks for the Pokestop. So I had that issue a couple days ago. But I think it's finally working for me now.
So here are, I mean, obviously, if you're listening to this, you're probably playing this game right now. You can't hatch eggs without walking around with the app open and running, or at least you can't mature those eggs. So that was an issue for me. Obviously, they're going to sell a crap load of those Pokewalkers that Nintendo's planning to release.
You mean the Pokemon Go Plus?
That's right, Pokemon Go Plus.
That's a thing that you put on your wrist and you wear it and it sends you notifications whenever anything is nearby, right?
Yes, and it'll also track your steps so you'll be able to grow your Pokemon's level by walking around. Is that right? Did I get that right?
I'm not sure about that.
But I know that there's a feature in the app where you can turn the screen off because you literally can't, like, it's tracking steps and they just haven't hooked it into the pedometer on the phone itself. It literally has its own pedometer or something that only runs when the app runs. So I think the Pokemon Go Plus is going to be a huge thing. I think they definitely need to have...
It's like sold out everywhere.
Yeah. Oh, is it up for pre-order right now or something?
It's been up. It went up on Amazon and GameStop a while back. Uh-huh. They're totally sold out the last time I checked.
Oh, gosh. But they haven't started shipping yet, I guess.
No. Sometime later this month.
Okay.
There's no exact date as far as I know.
And I think for this game to have some longevity, I really do think there needs to be some player interaction. I don't know if battles are the right kind of play interaction. What do you think?
Well, I mean, when I was walking through the park and I encountered the people playing it, my first thought was, oh, shouldn't this be like the classic Pokemon games where it's like, you know, Trainer Hoff challenges you to a battle. So I was kind of thinking you should be able to do a one-on-one battle if you want.
Yeah.
So that would kind of make sense. It would also, I was hoping to be able to actually, you know, fight the other Pokemon to capture them instead of just swinging my balls at
them. That also is kind of a letdown. Just flinging a Pokeball at a target and hitting, it just feels too mini-gamey to me. And there's just, obviously the game is walking around, getting exercise, finding these neat little locations. And honestly, it's pointed out some really cool stuff in my neighborhood I never knew existed. Little pieces of art, a hidden fountain, all this really well thought out stuff that adds to the metagame of the whole thing. But I feel like the actual, maybe it needs to be dumb simple to catch a Pokemon, because it's really not about flinging Pokeballs at Pokemon. It's about getting out, enjoying yourself, meeting other people, this whole other experience on top of just catching Pokemon.
I guess you could think of it that way. Now, are you going to get the Pokemon Go Plus if you can find one?
Oh, yeah. I'm definitely getting one. Are you going to get one?
I'm thinking about it. I probably will. I mean, it's Nintendo hardware and all that, so I should probably get it. Incidentally, that's something that's really been sticking in my craw with this whole thing, is that since it became a phenomenon, everyone's going, oh my gosh, Nintendo is so brilliant. Nintendo's a genius. Nintendo, they have totally changed the way that mobile apps work.
Yeah.
And I'm like, this isn't Nintendo's app. It is Niantic and the Pokemon Company. When you fire it up, those are the names that appear. Nintendo is mostly relegated. I mean, I'm sure they had some input on development, but they're mostly involved because of the hardware that's going to be coming out later this month.
Yeah.
And obviously, they're raking in the benefits because their stock went through the freaking
roof. Oh my gosh, Chris, it's insane. I mean, yeah, the stock has just been on fire. And then today's other big news boosted up even more because there was some profit taking this morning. I should disclose that I am a Nintendo investor on a lark. I bought a bunch of Nintendo stock for fun. And I actually went over to the Nintendo Power area one day and said, you guys should buy some Nintendo stock. But of course, working for Nintendo Power, owning Nintendo stock, I'm sorry, you guys were doing editorial stuff around Nintendo, and owning Nintendo stock is kind of a sketchy thing. Obviously, I need to disclose that I own Nintendo stock if I recommend it, which I am not doing. I'm not recommending Nintendo stock to anyone. But
it's too expensive now.
Yeah, it's super expensive. I bought it when it was $11 a share. It's at $30 right now, which is crazy.
Nice.
I didn't buy much. It's not like I'm rich off Nintendo stock. But, you know, a lot of people would say, oh, don't buy stock in Nintendo. It's a fanboy thing to do. But I was thinking, it's $10, $11, you know. How much lower can this stock go? Because it was really beaten down. Yeah. It was really beaten down.
Invest in the kind of things you like, I suppose.
Yeah, there was... so I thought, oh, you know, I love Nintendo enough. I buy the stocks of companies that I really do buy the products of. And I think that's always a good stock tip. If you like a company's products and you believe in them, maybe you want to put your money behind that.
Well, this ain't stock pros. This is power pros, man.
That's true. Okay, so let's not talk about stock, but it did go up quite a bit.
Yes.
It went up quite a bit because Nintendo owns basically a third of the Pokemon company.
Right. They own a third of the company.
And they own a third of the input. Profits. And if
I don't know if it quite works that way because, you know, they also have to split with Niantic. But whatever it is, they're making a ton of, you know, cash and profit off this one way or the other.
Yep.
And B, the game really shouldn't be credited to Nintendo. They're not the publisher. They're not the developer. That recognition should go to the Pokemon Company and Niantic. I just want to give credit where credit's due.
The Pokemon Company was set up because I think ultimately Nintendo, it's kind of like Pixar and Disney, you know?
Kind of. It's a very mysterious thing. I mean, during all my time at Nintendo Power, I was trying to figure out why exactly they had Pokemon as a separate entity.
Yeah.
And I have asked many people and looked into this for quite a long time, and I don't think anybody knows who's willing to actually give an answer about it.
Yeah. My guess is that, you know,
but it is a separate entity.
They know it's a huge entity. I think they know if it's tied too closely to Nintendo that it doesn't let it do some things that it would otherwise not be able to do. It lets it do like be on other platforms, like be on, hey, could it be on an Xbox, or it could be on the PlayStation 4, it could be on an Android device. It could.
It could. I mean, right now, that's not very like, but it, I mean, it is on the Android device. It is on iOS.
Yep.
And there are lots of other Pokemon apps that have been out there, none of which have anything to do with Nintendo.
Yep.
And a lot of people erroneously think that they are from Nintendo, but they're not. Obviously, Nintendo, you know, is involved with this, but I say it to you and everyone else, don't make the mistake of thinking that this is strictly a Nintendo product.
Well, I'm not saying peep because it's tripled my stock price. My Nintendo stock.
Yep, I'm not arguing with that. Now, that hardware, that's going to be all Nintendo. So.
Yeah, and I think the hardware is going to be a big piece of this puzzle. I think that they need to move quickly and add features, make it more robust, make it more of a game. Honestly, I do think that people, this will wear off a bit as you explore your local area and you keep going to the same Pokestops. I think do you want to keep walking down to the corner just to spin the thing and get four more Pokeballs? I don't think so. But, you know, I looked at the map of San Francisco today, and there were lures all over the city. It was madness. It was absolute madness. Everything was pink with those pink flowers falling off. So, people are spending actual cash on this. People are spending
lots of cash. Have you spent any actual cash on it?
I have not. But,
me neither.
You know, when you look at the App Store, you can search by popular, most downloaded, paid, and free. And you can also search by... biggest money makers in the App Store, and Pokemon Go is number one most profitable app in the store right now.
Most profitable app and apparently the most popular mobile game ever, going by the number of users.
Yeah.
So
wow.
Yeah, like I said, this thing is a crazy phenomenon. I'm happy that it's doing well for everybody involved. It is just it's nuts.
How many Pokemon do you have?
I don't know. Not that many. Like I said, I've been having a bunch of issues. It was down for me for more than a day. And a lot of times I would go outside and I'd try to do it and be like, oh, it's not working right now. So
well,
I'd have to check, but it's lower than I want it to be. That's for sure.
So my office is in a mall, and right in front of the Nordstrom store is a Pokestop, and we can get it from our seats in our office, so everybody's got the app open, and everybody's there was a lure set all day. People, once the lure would wear off, somebody else would pay for the lure to go up at the same location. That lure was active the whole day, so if you wanted to, you could have caught, I don't know how many could you catch, but it was I think the issue is only a certain type of Pokemon kept showing up, so you could pretty much just kind of, what are you going to do? Have five Caterpies? Is that worth it?
Yeah, you can build up an army of Caterpies. That's my plan. I'm going to build up a Rattata army and take over South San Francisco.
Yeah, I live right on the waterfront here in San Francisco, and it's a lot of water type creatures, Pokemon. So, well, I've been having fun with it. I think it's brilliant. I love the fact that people are searching or posting to Twitter that their legs hurt because they've been walking around so much because of Pokemon Go. So I think this can only be good for Nintendo. It raises their brand in everybody's mind. It's definitely top of mind because, you know, when people think Pokemon, they think Nintendo, and that's only rightly so.
Yes, that is the case, whether it's a Nintendo product or not.
That's right.
Apparently. But speaking of Pokemon, there was also a little bit of new news about Pokemon Sun and Pokemon Moon. Did you see that there is now a Steelbook combo pack that's coming out for those games?
I didn't see that. And is this like a first for a Nintendo game to be a Steelbook series game?
You know, I'm not positive, but I believe it is a Nintendo first in North America.
Well, people that collect Steelbooks are pretty serious, and they'll probably
buy this
if they don't own a 3DS.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's pretty nuts. And for some reason, it's $90 though, which is more than buying the two games separately, so I guess you're paying a premium for the Steelbook.
Yeah, for
but,
sure.
I don't know, it seems pretty cool. I might pick that up.
Usually it comes with some sort of booklet that's better than no book, so there's a thing.
Yeah, I mean, it's very collectible, and Pokemon's super hot right now, so yeah, it's very enticing. The other interesting bit of Pokemon news was a couple of new Sun and Moon Pokemon who were revealed in a magazine in Japan. And the one that caught my eye, I don't know if you saw this, Scott, but there's one called Mimikyu, and it is apparently a ghost Pokemon that wears a dead Pikachu's skin.
That's nuts. I wouldn't have expected them to go there.
It's not really. I'm lying. It's apparently wearing like the remains of a plush Pikachu toy. It's not really his skin, but it looks to me like he's wearing his skin. I'm going to keep pretending it is. So everyone listening, please tell your friends that he is wearing dead Pikachu's skin.
So that's crazy looking, though. That is really spooky.
Yeah, it's crazy looking. It is pretty creepy. See? When you look at it, that's what it looks like. It looks like dead Pikachu.
Well, it's definitely a disguise that it's wearing. It's a horrible black and red glowing ghost underneath there. Yeah, that's nightmare fuel right there.
I like it. So moving on to another game we talked about last week, there was also some more news about Azure Striker Gunvolt 2. Of course, that's the one that's coming out as a physical release, thanks to Yacht Club Games. And it turns out there's a little more connection to Yacht Club than that. There is going to be a Shovel Knight cameo in Azure Striker Gunvolt 2.
That is really neat. That's neat. And there's so many Shovel Knight fans out there. It's crazy. I go to these anime conventions for work, and there is so much Shovel Knight cosplay. And it's so good. These people are really dedicated to good cosplay. Yeah, Shovel Knight's a great character. I hope he becomes just this juggernaut of a franchise that we can look forward to more games with Shovel Knight.
Mm-hmm. Well, now that it's being published over in Japan by Nintendo, I mean, that gives it even more clout. Yeah. So this could become a global phenomenon soon.
Do you think Nintendo would want to purchase Yacht Club Games? Do you think they would want to buy them and get Shovel Knight in the fold?
I wouldn't say that. Probably not. But, I guess we'll have to see how it goes. Personally, I'd like to see it being kept separate. I'm sure part of the success is that it has been on almost every platform under the sun.
Yeah.
Plus, I like the idea of Yacht Club being able to do its own thing and continue to be super creative. So hopefully they remain separate. But yeah, Shovel Knight shows up in Azure Striker Gunvolt 2 as a boss, apparently by using the Shovel Knight amiibo.
That's cool.
Pretty darn cool.
So if I don't have the Shovel Knight amiibo, I'm kind of out of luck?
As far as I know, I could be wrong about that, but I do believe it is an amiibo exclusive feature. Yeah. Well, speaking of amiibo.
Amiibo!
There were new amiibo that were released just last Friday. They were the Splatoon amiibo. They were the repaints of the Boy Inkling, the Girl Inkling, and the Squid. And then there was also the new two-pack of Callie and Marie. I don't suppose you picked up any of these?
No, but I was at Target, and it's just a wall of Animal Crossing amiibo, and then a handful of Splatoon, and that's it. You can't even get any of those old amiibos anymore. So
you could probably still get Dr. Mario, right?
Yeah, probably. But are they all still widely available, or are they really that like hard to get now? All those other amiibos, or did just they make room for Animal Crossing because, hey, Animal Crossing?
No, it depends on where you go. I mean, Animal Crossing did not sell very well for them as far as the amiibos go. For some reason, people just didn't really care, and the fact that it is attached to a really, really terrible game probably didn't help matters.
Yeah.
But outside of Target, you can still find a lot of them at like Toys R Us. They seem to have a pretty good selection. And as far as my experience went, most places around me were already sold out of the Splatoon stuff. I had to go to like 4 stores before I could find Callie and Marie, and 3 stores before I could find the new 3-pack.
Yeah, well, I definitely saw the 3-pack when I went, so I probably should have bought it. I had no idea.
Yeah, I mean, it's not super hard to get or anything, but it wasn't super easy either. 3-pack is okay. As I said, it is just a repaint of the previous ones. I do like the boy with his new purple hair, and the other ones are fine as well. It certainly doesn't seem like an essential purchase if you have the previous boy, girl, and squid, but I like having them all together to sort of flesh it out. You know, they can have a, you know, mock battle together. But I really, really like Callie and Marie. They've got these really neat, sparkly dresses, and the expressions are just completely, perfectly dead on. The bases, like the other Splatoon amiibos, have these, you know, ink splashes coming up. The positions they've got their hands in are a little weird, but it seems appropriate for the characters. So, yeah, I really like these two. I highly recommend them. If you're into Splatoon, it seems like a no-brainer to me. So, yeah, I would say that those two are, you know, really excellent additions to the collection. Mm-hmm. And the three-pack, you know, maybe. Depends on how much of a fan you are, I guess. You know, I'm all in on the amiibo, so I naturally bought all of them.
Yeah.
I think I have, like, 100 amiibo now.
And they all fit in your apartment. There's no Chris Hoffman, like, memorial wing in your apartment building. Where are they all? In a closet somewhere?
It's, most of them are on my shelf.
Shelf. All right.
Yeah. Yeah, in my living room. You'll have to come over and check it out sometime.
Yeah, I just can't picture it because there are so many amiibo. I don't have room for 100 anything in my house. So, yeah, this just... interesting to me anyway.
Yeah, and on top of that, there are actually more amiibo on the way that I'm looking forward to. We've talked about them in the past. There are some amiibo coming out to go with Monster Hunter Stories, which is the Monster Hunter RPG coming out in Japan in a few months. Mm-hmm. And when you there were three of those, the cat creature and then two humans riding on monsters. And now they've announced there are three more that are going to be also human characters riding on various monsters. I'm not knowledgeable enough on my Monster Hunter lore to be able to tell you all the specifics, but I think that they look really, really cool. And they're supposed to be coming out in December. I still really hope they announce all this stuff for the US, but even if they don't, I am probably going to import these because they look really, really cool. They're big and they're impressive. And like I said, human riding a monster, it's almost like getting two amiibo in one. So I think they are pretty darn nice.
Yeah, I agree. They look really cool. Even if you don't play Monster Hunter, I think you might want to get these if you collect stuff like this.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
It doesn't look Absolutely. Like they're ever going to retail for $12.99, though. Have they ever produced
No.
an amiibo that would... It's got to cost more, right? If this comes to the U.S., could they keep it at that $12.99 price tag or price point?
Probably not. It'd probably be a little bit more.
Yeah.
I think at least 15, maybe 18.
Is there a precedent?
Certainly there's precedent.
There's a...
Well, we got Mega Yarn Yoshi.
Oh, yeah, so. That's right. Yep.
That was a 30-something, $40 amiibo for that one, I think. They certainly have made higher price points for the bigger ones. So, yeah, totally possible. One other bit of news I wanted to touch on was that Nintendo made an announcement regarding their upcoming Comic-Con activities. Now, Scott, you're going to be there, right, at Comic-Con from July 21st through 24th, right?
I will be there. I'm excited. Going to buy a bunch of toys. Going to actually work a lot, so maybe not buy as many toys as I want. I'm going to Sonic's birthday party, and I'm buying.
Yeah, lucky.
I'm getting us some Turtle action figures.
Mm-hmm. Well, if you have a chance, Nintendo not only has a little booth over at Comic-Con itself, but as they often do, they have a lounge set up down the street in a hotel that's basically next door to Comic-Con.
Okay.
It is called the Play Nintendo Family Lounge, and they are going to have on display for you to play Yo-Kai Watch 2.
Mm-hmm.
Style Savvy Fashion Forward, and Metroid Prime Federation Force.
Mm-hmm.
So none of those are out yet. There are going to be a bunch of other games that already are out and some other new releases like the new Monster Hunter Generations that will be out very soon. I guess by the time this podcast goes live, that game will be out and that's going to be there as well. So yeah, if you have some spare time, swing by there, check it out, relax, enjoy some games. It's a great place for street passing too.
Yeah. I might do that. Actually, Comic-Con in general is a great place for street passing. The biggest issue is just churning through your 10 street passes so that the next 10 could queue up because it's just nonstop. It's nonstop.
Yeah, that's what I would do sometimes is if I was just tired and had like nothing I really needed to do, I'd just go over to that Nintendo Lounge. I would go through. I would cycle through all my street passes, and then by the time I was doing that, I like already have gotten 10 more. It's like, okay, yep. Well, just keep doing this. I'll just sit here and relax for a bit. So, yeah, if you're a fan going there, it's a good place to stop by, and you can check out a couple games before they're available to everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
All right, that takes care of our news section of the podcast. Let's take a little intermission, and when we come back, we'll talk about our big topic, the NES Classic Edition. All right, we are back and we are ready to discuss our big topic, which was the new Nintendo hardware that was just announced, the NES Classic Edition. This is the miniature NES that you can fit in the palm of your hand, comes with 30 games preloaded on it, and comes out this November for $60. Scott, what do you think?
I said at the top of the show, I am completely shocked. I am stunned. I'm speechless. I don't even know what to say. This is a device, a toy I would have never, ever in a million years that Nintendo would create this thing. Obviously, they love their heritage, and we got Virtual Console, and I think, like, of course, Nintendo would much rather sell you another $5 digital download of the same game on the next device, right, and the next device, and the next device. This is unprecedented. I just don't know what to say.
So you're very, very happy about this.
I'm super excited. I'm not even kidding. I'm probably going to buy 3 or 4 of these things. Yeah, I'm going to buy one to open. I'm going to buy one to keep in the box. And I'm going to buy 2 to give to my favorite people in the world. I just can't believe that this is going to be a real thing. What did you think when you heard this? It felt like an April Fool's joke to me. I just was like, that's got to be a joke.
I was very, very excited. Obviously, I'm a huge Nintendo fan. Obviously, I love a lot of classic games. And to me, it makes a lot of sense. Certainly, there are other people in the video game space that are doing these things. You can go to, Best Buy or Toys R Us, and you can see, here's 30 games in one on your Genesis. Here's, 30 games from the 2600 or in a joystick for the Intellivision or something like that.
Yeah.
So it kind of makes sense that Nintendo would want to do the same sort of thing and be on the shelf next to these products, only do something that's way cooler and way better and way nicer and something that's totally Nintendo by making an exact recreation of that classic, super memorable hardware and including 30 legitimately classic games.
Yeah, except for Balloon Fight, every other game in there I am super just stoked to play. Balloon Fight, I could take or leave, but I understand why
There might be a couple that I can do without that I might wish other things were in there, but I'll get to that in a little bit.
Okay.
The other reason it makes sense to me, though, is because I feel like this is kind of mostly for people that don't have a Wii U, that don't have a 3DS, that might sort of be lapsed players. They're like, oh yeah, I really wish I could play this. I think it's the people who were saying, you guys should put all these games on mobile and sell them for 99 cents or something. Because as far as value goes, you're only paying $2 per game. That's a huge value. Compare this to $5 if you were actually getting this on a Wii or a Wii U. That's what, $150, right?
Yeah.
So that's just nuts. And, Nintendo knows that their games wouldn't play very well if you're trying to play them on a touchscreen on a mobile device. That usually just doesn't work very well for their type of game. So here they are saying, okay, well, you want to get these things cheap and affordable? Here you go. Here's a way to do it. It's not on mobile, but you also don't have to go all in and buy a Wii U or a 3DS just to play all these classic games that you remember. And I think that that is one of the reasons why this doesn't have a whole lot of bells and whistles. Obviously, it does have HDMI output, so you are going to be able to get these games in super awesome, pixel-perfect, totally clear glory, or so we believe.
I hope so. Or I almost hope not, and we'll get to that too.
Well, hopefully they will have like a variety of filters you can turn on. I want to have super-duper, perfect, exact, like you could practically cut yourself on it pixels.
Yeah.
But I think having some other view modes that maybe replicate the way things used to be would be really cool also.
I agree. I have multiple NESs, but my favorite is my RGB NES. And that does present that pixel perfect gameplay that you get from an emulator. So it looks emulated, which I a lot of purists are actually against that. Don't want that pixel perfect, you know, cut yourself on the pixels look.
Right, because that's not how it really looked when you played it back in the day.
So to give myself the best experience, I've bought a broadcast monitor that has RGB inputs, and so I hook my Nintendo, my NES, up to this. You've seen this monitor. It's like a 14-inch monitor. It's kind of bulky. And that gives me what I feel like is the purest version of playing an NES. I feel like if they delivered this device with some pixel perfect graphics and then also the ability to possibly use some filters that either makes it a little fuzzy or a little bit like a CRT with scan lines, I'm in.
Yeah, that's what I want.
I think
as well.
That'd be really nice. I don't want to see them smooth the, you know, round off the blocky graphics. Right. That would be kind of missing the point. But yeah.
Yeah, I mean, they would probably put some option like that anyway, but it's not something I would ever use. It's not something you would ever use. So certainly.
Yeah.
Don't put it on my account. The other thing that makes me think this is sort of aimed at the lapsed gamers is because this doesn't have any sort of online capabilities whatsoever. It's not expandable. It comes with these 30 games, and only these 30 games. They're not trying to sell you anything else. You don't need to have a Wi-Fi connection to use it. So on the one hand, that's kind of, you know, too bad for the hardcore players that might want other games to be added on. But for someone who doesn't really care about that, for someone who's just going to be like, okay, this is just taking me back to my childhood to play these things, it makes perfect sense. It cuts down on the cost for that person. And for those of us who do want all that stuff, we have our Wii U and 3DS virtual consoles, and we can keep on buying all these other games that they make available for it.
Yeah.
So it kind of makes sense that it's not going to be expandable. But yeah, now on to the important part, I suppose, the games.
Yeah, the games, which is the most shocking thing about this, which is I expected to get... I mean, if you just told me what the basics of the announcement, which is they're going to release a mini version of the NES, and it's going to have a bunch of built-in games, I would have said, oh, of course, they're going to give us the black box games, the first 40 different games that came out on the NES, like...
Yeah, that would make sense.
Yeah, like Urban Champion, Pinball, Balloon Fight.
We are getting Balloon Fight.
The original Super Mario Brothers. Just a bunch of games. Like, maybe it even would come with, I don't know, just a lot of those classic original NES games that have that very limited replay value, except for Super Mario Brothers, obviously. But... a lot of those early games did have very limited replay value. They were cool.
You're like, talking about stuff like Clue Clue Land.
Yeah, Clue Clue Land. Original baseball, original tennis.
Yeah, 10-yard fight.
Excite Bike.
Volleyball.
Yeah, volleyball. So, and honestly, if that was what I got, I think I would have been okay. I would have been like, you know, that's cool. Obviously, Nintendo, they want to only give us the games they created, and they may not want to give us maybe a... Anyway, it just felt like that's probably the easy route. They could have made this device. It probably would have sold a decent amount. But holy cow.
Yeah, totally.
The games we got, I just am completely stunned. I'm stunned. They got third-party sign-off on games that are the not just the best games on the NES, some of the best games ever made.
Yeah, should we just go down the list? To make sure everybody knows what we're talking about? All right, so... originally published by Nintendo, we're talking about Super Mario Brothers 1, 2, and 3, The Legend of Zelda, Zelda 2, The Adventure of Link, Metroid, Kid Icarus, Punch-Out featuring Mr. Dream, that's right, no, Mike Tyson, freaking
that's
Mr.
Okay.
Dream again.
I'll live with that.
Kirby's Adventure, Star Tropics, Dr. Mario, Donkey Kong, Donkey Kong Jr., Excite Bike, Ice Climber, Balloon Fight, and Mario Brothers. Then from Konami, Gradius, Super C, Castlevania, and Castlevania 2. From Capcom, Ghosts and Goblins, and Mega Man 2. Then from, I'll just lump all these other publishers together, Double Dragon 2 The Revenge, Final Fantasy, Bubble Bobble, Galaga, Pac-Man, Ninja Gaiden, or Gaiden, as the kids say, and Tecmo Bowl.
Yeah, Tecmo Bowl.
That's quite a lineup of 30 games.
Honestly, like, Tecmo Bowl might be the only sports game I would have been like, yeah, like, really the only great sports game on the NES is Tecmo Bowl. Mm. Even for a non-sports
Punch
fans,
Out, dude. Punch
well,
Out.
Well, that's barely a sports title. But yeah, it's Tecmo Bowl. My gosh, so smart. So smart. So many good memories around every one of those games.
Yeah, so it's like the best of from Nintendo's stuff. Really, they didn't just go with the early stuff. They got some of the later stuff and some of the most popular stuff. I mean, if I were to think of like the top 10 NES titles published by Nintendo, they're all on there.
Every single You're right. one of them. They're all on there. I can't think of one huge omission. Can you think of a huge omission? Something that you're like, gosh, I wish it had X?
Well, if you're talking third parties, definitely.
Okay. Yes. Like what?
The biggest one is Contra.
Contra.
There's
okay.
still no Contra. Yeah. There is no effing Contra. We haven't been able to get Contra on Virtual Console on Wii or Wii U or 3DS. And it's like, oh man, here, maybe we can finally get it. No Contra
but so
for some reason.
Super C is close, but no Cigar? What?
Right.
What?
I mean, Super C is fun. It's good. It's the sequel. Yeah. But the original Contra, man, that's still the best.
Yeah.
To a lesser extent, I would also say that Castlevania 3 seems like a really weird omission.
Yeah,
we're getting the first two, but not the third one.
It is,
one.
But Castlevania 3 is kind of notoriously difficult because it's got some advanced chipset in it. So emulating Castlevania 3 is a bit more difficult.
Maybe, but I'm assuming that they're just using the same emulation methods that they use for Virtual Console, and that game runs great on Wii U and 3DS.
Yeah,
so.
Although I do believe that what's going to be inside this thing is probably a mobile processor, and I'm wondering if it really was it could be a hardware issue.
Well, it's obviously possible for them to do it, so I feel like they should have done it, but that one kind of stands out. And then for me personally, we're getting Mega Man 2. I certainly would have liked to have seen Mega Man 1 and or Mega Man 3 on there. Those would have been.
But if we were going to get one Mega Man game, Mega Man 2, that's the one.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, totally. I mean, also what it has to do is say, hey, Hoff, there's a new NES coming out with Mega Man 2 on it and 20 other games. I'm like, okay.
Yeah, what do I sign up?
Mega Man
exactly.
2.
Yeah.
That is
so
still my all-time favorite NES
coming
game.
From a guy who already has, I have multiple NESs in my house with stacks of cartridges. I'm super excited to buy multiple of these. I think these are going to be as hard to find as the Wii back when the Wii launched. These things are going to be so hard to find. There's no way they're going to have enough production behind this to meet the demand. I just don't think.
I agree. I think it's going to be
nuts. It's going to be insane. They're going to sell millions of these things. Millions.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think people are going to love it. It's going to appeal to the hardcore. It's going to appeal to the casuals that haven't played this stuff in years. So I think it's going to be a huge, huge audience for this stuff.
Yeah. Also, what I really love is the fact that these games are going to have save states, which is something you can't do on the original hardware. You can't pause your game and like come back to it and be at the same, or you know, turn your game off and come back to it and be at the same spot. You'd have to leave the console on. So you can do that on Virtual Console.
But apparently this is going to have multiple save states for each game. On the Wii U and 3DS Virtual Console, you can only do save per game and that's it. But you're going to be able to do multiple on this one. So that's pretty cool.
And it comes with one classic controller, right? And it you can use a Wii remote and via the Wii remote you can connect a Pro controller or a Classic controller, but you could also buy
that's not quite accurate.
No?
If you look at the picture, you'll see that the controllers actually plug in to this new NES Classic system. Just like the old ones did. It actually is a corded controller.
Yeah,
it's not a wireless controller.
It is corded, but
and you can plug in the classic controller that you would use on Wii that would plug into Wii Remote the same way.
That's right. That's what I meant.
So that's how it works. But then the inverse is true. You can use this controller, this NES-styled controller, this new NES-styled controller plugged into your Wii Remote, and then you can use it to play games on your Wii or on your Wii U.
Oh, that's cool. So that I didn't realize
pretty
that.
Pretty darn cool.
Yeah, that is a really neat little feature. All right.
Yeah, yeah. And the controller is only $10. So if you want to stock up and buy two or three or four of them for multiplayer games, that will probably be possible to do.
Yeah, that's great. I worry that so are we going to talk about things that we think could be better?
Yes. And speaking of that, you were asking me about the games that I kind of wanted to see also on there. Is there anything else that you'd want to see? Is there anything that's missing in your mind?
Yeah, just a couple games that like I loved growing up as a kid that are just wacky and out there that, you know, I totally understand and not being there. Faxanadu.
Everybody has their own favorites.
Yeah, like Faxanadu is one of my favorite games growing up as a kid. I think
that was published by Nintendo, so that would have been a nice addition.
Yeah, RC Pro-Am would have been nice to see.
Except Rare owns that one, so that's impossible.
Yeah, Rad Racer, for some reason, I think that was fun, and that was Square, I think.
Yeah, they were the developer on that one. I'd love to see that one make a comeback. I don't know why it hasn't.
You know, honestly, after that, geez, there's really not much I can think of that isn't like already on the thing, which is really cool. Obviously, Mega Man 3 would be great. And of course, like DuckTales. Dang it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That would have been so cool. Yeah. I know that would have...
If only we could get those licensed games.
Gosh, if they could have... You know, I'm glad we got DuckTales once. but yeah, DuckTales, all of those Nintendo, Capcom... all of those Disney Capcom games really are so wonderful, and I know there's a reason why they're not on there, but man, that would have been cool.
Yeah, I guess there are a couple more that come to mind to me now. First of all, Dragon Warrior. That's one that I've been wanting to see on Virtual Console for, you know, more than a decade now, and I have no idea why it's not, but that would have been a cool inclusion. Bionic Commando is another NES classic that hasn't been on Virtual Console in any form that I would want to see. And then there are a couple that have been on other forms of Virtual Console, and those are Blaster Master and River City Ransom that seem like all-time greats that that would have been good fits for this as well. So if it were up to me, I would probably remove Balloon Fight and Ice Climber. And even Mario Brothers, because Mario Brothers was like pre-NES. That was like not a game I played on my NES. That was a game I played on my 2600. So to me, it's like, why would I go back and play the game on my NES?
The only thing I could say about those is they're very faithful to the arcade version. So I, you know, if you want a really nice, fun, arcade-y game to play with a couple friends, or to play with another friend, I should say, it's a real fun two-player game, that Mario Brothers.
I suppose. The same goes with Galaga and Pac-Man. If I were going to play those, you know, it's easy enough to play like perfect arcade versions of those games. They weren't really ones I ever thought about playing on my NES. Yeah. I mean, obviously, you know, it varies from person to person, but I was more into the NES originals. So if it were up to me, I would be like, yeah, let's cut Pac-Man and Galaga and Bubble Bobble and Balloon Fight Mario Ice Climber and put in those other ones I was talking about. But even so, it's a pretty darn great list.
Yeah. Ooh, and Kung Fu. That's one of my
favorites.
Yeah.
Yeah, that one's from Irem and all probably caught up in all sorts of weird legal problems because that one's really should have been on Virtual Console ages ago. So
yeah, that was one of the original black box games too.
I suppose I can't go through this conversation without mentioning pro wrestling. Obviously, NES pro wrestling.
Yeah, they snubbed pro wrestling, but you can come over to my house and play pro wrestling.
No, I can play pro wrestling over here too. So. Okay, so other than that, is there anything else that you would like to see changed or different about this thing?
Yeah. You know what would have been really fun, and I know this is probably just bananas, you know, but to to have a couple light gun games in there and to give me a light gun, but of course I know that the technology of having a light gun game work on an LCD screen is pretty much non-existent. So I'm not quite sure how they would have made that work.
Well, they did get, you know, some Zapper games up and running on Wii U Virtual Console. We got Duck Hunt on there now and Bayou Billy and a couple of others.
But they had to
play very well.
No, they don't. They had to use the IR sensor to Yeah. It would have been a bad solution. I'm much happier playing.
It's a very good point. It's a very good point. You wouldn't be able to do that without additional hardware. Just so
one other small thing, which is I'm concerned that because it's a wired connection to the controller, so you have to either have a really long HDMI cable or a really long controller cable, or you're going to be sitting a lot of people's homes are just not set up for having a console, over in the entertainment area, and then your controller on the couch is sometimes, 15 feet. And I don't think they're giving us 15 feet of cable with this thing. So we'll see. But
that's a good point, too.
I'm a little concerned.
And I hope the cable is sturdy on your controller, too. I hope it's at least as thick and sturdy as the original NES controller.
Yeah, that is I like the fact that it looks really classic, and I'm really hoping that they make a Famicom version with maybe the Japanese versions of these games. I would definitely be in the market for that as well. I can't imagine they wouldn't.
Yeah, that would certainly be interesting. That'd be cool to own. That's for sure.
And I know that it's going to be running some sort of mobile processor, an emulator. I just hope that the emulation is solid, that there's no screen tearing. Mm-hmm. Things like the Neo Geo X that came out not too long ago had a bunch of issues, and it sounded like the perfect device for people wanting to play Neo Geo games affordably, because Neo Geo games, my gosh, if you want to collect Neo Geo, forget about it. It's like $600 a game. So
they were $200 when they came out back in the day.
I know. And an MVS or an they're just outrageously expensive. So I just hope that they worked out all the kinks. We have 60 frames per second gameplay on this thing. I just hope it works as advertised. If they can deliver a 95% close to the actual hardware experience, I'm in. And with all the whistles and bells, like save states and maybe some filters that change the way the game looks, I'm sold. I mean, obviously I'm sold. Mm-hmm. Buying a bunch of these.
If they're able to make something that's as good as Virtual Console, but then with extra additions packed in there, then we've got a total winner on our hands.
Yeah, is there anything you think could be better other than maybe the exclusion of some games?
Well, the one other thing that I would really, really love to see is a new NES Max controller.
Really?
I love that thing. That was my go-to controller back in the day. And there are two reasons why I really would want to see them bring this back. First of all, a lot of those games I really found the Turbo Fire on the Max be really, really useful. And I will probably wear out my arm trying to hit the buttons that fast with these new controllers without built-in Turbo Fire. And second, that was the controller with the weird red Cyclode pad. And it was always kind of iffy if that really worked that well or not. But if they did that same type of controller, but with the circle pad that they use on the 3DS and the Wii U, I think it would just be amazing. It would be awesome. It would be perfect. So I would love to see them bring out an additional controller like that. And heck, they can bring out the NES Advantage joystick while they're at it.
Yeah, that's my go-to.
They can resell me all those old peripherals that I got so much use out of back in the day. So, that's really all that I can think of off the top of my head.
I'm really excited for this. November 11th can't come fast enough, really.
Yep, absolutely. All right, I think that takes care of our big topic for this week, and that pretty much wraps up the show. But before we go, we are still going to squeeze in a dramatic reading. This time from the manual from Billy Hatcher and the Giant Egg for the Nintendo GameCube. Morningland is a peaceful realm inhabited by chickens. One day, a terrible fate befell the land. Black crows, empowered by a mysterious magic, appeared as ferocious monsters bent on keeping the world in eternal night. The chicken elders, whose voices bring dawn each day, were captured and sealed within golden eggs. Without their morning cries, the world will remain engulfed in darkness and human hearts will be consumed by evil. Now, only young Billy Hatcher and his friends from the human world can defeat the crows, release the elders, and return mourning to the world.
Boy, that got dark.
Well, literally, that's what happens in the game.
Is that game any good? I think I saw a speedrun of that game.
That game is actually awesome.
Really?
It is one of my favorite GameCube games. It's really good. And even though it kind of has a horrible main character,
yeah,
I think that game is awesome.
Yeah, I think
it's
I saw
It's definitely
a
my top 10 GameCube games.
All right.
It's really cool, yeah.
Huh, one of the sleeper hits.
Well,
not a hit.
I don't think it was quite a sleeper. I don't think anybody played it because it has a kid in a chicken costume as its main character.
Chicken elders are a part of this game, apparently. And crows are bad?
Yes.
Why are crows bad and chickens good? I don't like this one bit.
That's just the way the egg rolls, man.
Oh, man. That's rough. Hey, I have a question for you. I'm buying old GBAs on eBay, and my gosh, why does everybody own a copy of Frogger on the GBA and multiple versions of this game? Was Frogger Adventures a good game on the GBA?
I think they just made a ton of them, and you could buy them for dirt cheap.
Or were they given?
And then,
I mean, it's almost like they were given away for free because every single GBA.
I remember seeing them in like the $5 bin all the time.
Okay.
So,
well, if it was a good game, I apologize. I'm going to play this and tell you because I have three copies of the same Frogger game from the multiple GBAs I've bought to refurbish. Yeah, we'll see. We'll see.
Okay, well, I look forward to hearing your
It's Konami. It's a Konami game, so we'll see.
Yeah, they could be hit or miss with that sort of thing.
Yeah.
They were mostly miss when it came to trying to revive Frogger, so I'll be interested in hearing what you think.
I'll let you know.
All right, that does it for this week. As always, you can find us at powerpros.podbean.com, and you can follow us at PowerProsPod on both Facebook and Twitter. You can also follow me, The Hoff, on Twitter at Chris The Hoff, and you can find Scott at Plastic Bugs. You can email us at powerprospod@gmail.com for any reason. And if you like the podcast, it would be swell if you would give us a rating on iTunes. Thanks for listening, everybody. For myself, Scott Michella.
See you next week.
And that kid from A Boy and His Blob.
Blob!
We will see you next time.